Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my new friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Podcast, Episode 9. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, you're listening to this on most likely November 2nd. We're recording it on November 1st, but we're pretending it's Halloween still. So
it turns out for some of the jokes to work in this podcast, we had to pretend it's Halloween. So,
oh boy. So here's the thing about this episode. There is going to be one movie we review that we're going to get pretty contentious about. But we're not quite there yet. Quick reminder, follow us on Twitter, at Lights Camera Pod. Please subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe on iTunes. Keep hitting that five-star review. Big boost for us last week. It helped out a lot. It helped us launch a merchandise store. Noon on November 2nd, noon Eastern. You can now buy a shirt on TeePublic. You can find all the information up on our Twitter. We have two Goss God shirts. One of them is amazing. The other is also great, but one of them is amazing. We have an I'm buttering shirt, two different I'm flatlining shirts, and then a generic Lights, Camera, Podcast shirt. Much more to come. So that's what happens when you subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, give us 5 stars. It boosts us up there, and we're allowed to do more stuff.
Big shout out to Jimmy D.
Yeah, Jimmy right, D'Onofrio.
Yeah, big shout out.
He didn't just design these. I mean, he crafted these. They are amazing. They all look fantastic. So definitely check that out. Nude Eastern, we will tweet out the link to go buy some stuff. And TeePublic is having a sale. This is funny. This is like an actual advertisement, which is so weird for the show. But TeePublic is having a sale, so buy your first stuff now. And you can get stickers, sweatshirts, shirts, anything. You can get like a pillow if you want. I can get an I'm flatlining pillow.
You need a Goss God sticker to stick on the Yeti cooler. We got it.
Yep, exactly. So really, that's it for us in terms of, you know, the incidentals to get into. We have a very jam-packed news segment here that we don't have a lot of time to get through. So let's start off with news that literally just broke as this pod was about to happen. The full cast for the live-action Lion King movie was announced, and it's a big cast. We knew a lot about some of them. Donald Glover was going to play Simba. I believe we knew James Earl Jones is going to be back as Mufasa, but most everything else was never actually confirmed. Beyonce, that rumor is true. She will play Nala. Again, James Earl Jones back as Mufasa. Chiwetel Ejiofor will play Scar. John Oliver, Zazu. John Connie, I believe is his name. He's from Black Panther. Most recently, you may recognize him. He will play Rafiki. Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner as Pumbaa and Timon. They put it backwards on the graphic. Shouldn't it be Timon and Pumbaa?
It definitely should. Yeah. It throws me off.
Yeah, that really, that threw me off. Other people in there, Keegan-Michael Key, Eric Andre, Florence Kasumba, they will all play the hyenas. There you go. Tip my tongue. Couldn't think of it. They will all play the hyenas. Donald Glover and Beyonce will not play the young Simba and Nala. Those have been cast as kids. So there was some worry about that, I know, early on. people were worried that they were playing kids. So
bring back Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Come on.
Yeah, right? He's still got a young voice, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Humble brag here. I already said it on Twitter. I've seen footage when I was at D23, the Disney convention over the summer for work. It's unbelievable. I was a huge hater on this because this is something that I felt like hurt my childhood. It's like, why are you going to ruin the Lion King? But Johnny Favs, John Favreau, not the former Obama speechwriter, the director, he's making this movie. And the footage that they showed, which was like preliminary footage, it blows your mind. It is so amazing. And the second that trailer comes out, which apparently it's not going to be out for a while, people are going to go crazy over it. I'm buttering all the way through to the bottom of the bucket.
I really like The Jungle Book. I thought that was a great movie, and it was a warm up for The Lion King. So I'm really excited. Huge butter guy on this one. Can't wait to see what Seth Rogen does with Pumbaa, the farting warthog. It will be kind of a, a reach for him in his abilities. So yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm buttering all the way up too. This cast is phenomenal. I can't wait to see Eric Andre in a legitimate movie role. Interesting.
Yeah. This is a huge movie for all of them. Billy Eichner, this is a huge role. I mean, think about what Beauty and the Beast did this year. Beauty and the Beast almost garnered $1 billion. This is going to be bigger. So Lion King, we're all buttering. It looks like our followers are buttering too. This is actually one of the more reacted to things we've posted on Twitter in terms of just like movie news. So people really into the Lion King.
All right. I'll be right back, guys. I got some trick-or-treaters here. Just got to greet them, and I'll be back to the podcast.
Trick-or-treat!
Oh, hey, guys. Wow, you guys look scary. All right, here's the deal. This year, I don't have candy, but what I do have is a collection of some of my old movies and DVDs, switching over to digital now, so I got some things I think you guys might like. For you, I have a copy of the 2003 movie SWAT. And for you, I have a copy of the commentary for the Gremlins 2 DVD released. And then for you, I have a Criterion Collection copy of Brazil. So, all right, guys, go on. Hope you enjoy and have a nice night.
Moving on to another huge franchise or another big entity, The Fast and the Furious. Another thing that makes me happy we didn't record on actual Halloween because this extended into the movie news stratosphere again today, as Tyrese Gibson is now threatening to not star in the next Fast and Furious movie if Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in that one. Which, didn't we joke about this too?
Star is kind of a stretch. Let's just say that. Like, let's just say like threatening to not be in it. And yes, we did joke about this. We definitely did. I kind of feel bad for Tyrese because I think he's going through some stuff right now. I don't want to be too hard on him. I thought this was a work, to use a wrestling term. I thought this was all fake. But after today, I think it's 100% real. I really do. This is crazy. This is crazy. And I don't know what to say. I hope he's okay.
Here, I'll read the Instagram from today. It says, "Hello, world." Also, his Instagrams are very hard to read because they're a mess. "Hello, world. Hello, loyal fans and loved ones from our Fast universe. I'm sorry to announce that if Dwayne," spelled wrong again, which is amazing to me, "is in Fast 9, there will be no more Roman Pierce," which is Tyrese's character. "You mess with family."
Everyone went to Wikipedia to see, like, oh, who's Roman Pierce? Oh, that makes sense. That's Tyrese's character. Okay,
not the porn star. The titular character.
Now this post makes sense.
"You mess with family and my daughter's survival, I mess with yours," which is, that's like,
what?
See, that's where it takes it to a different level. I'll continue it. Hold on. "Close your eyes, dude. You're a clown. #candyassbitchmade, all my real one. Men on integrity, my real ones out here, stand up. Folks that GP to the gym and get big naturally. #nojuice, #noOJ, spinoff, huh? Spin off these nuts, selfish champ."
Okay, that was pretty good.
"Pause notice, who's got his arms around my shoulder and who's standing alone? #OurChildrenMatter. The guy standing alone in the picture is The Rock. Though granted, it's a selfie, they're really close. And the guy who has his arm around Tyrese is Vin Diesel. There are other Instagrams, but I'm not going to read them. You can go look them up. They're very long. Like, that is a blurb compared to what else he posted. And not to get too real, but if he is going through some stuff, I do feel bad. But he could just legitimately be pissed off.
I feel bad clowning on him. I don't want to do that because this is just kind of bizarre. At first I thought, like, okay, it's kind of funny. But, like, I think he posted another video where he was, like, crying or something like that today. And it just made me feel bad for the guy. So, like, I'm trying to have some empathy. I will say I do appreciate how they're using Vin Diesel like as
they are
a prop,
a prize. Like Vin Diesel, Vin's on my side, Dom's on my side. You think the Rock cares about Vin Diesel? The Rock like and Vin Diesel are like that Spider-Man meme, except like Spider-Man would be looking back at like a Spider-Man half its size.
I mean, keep in mind The Rock also called Vin Diesel a candy ass last year. They were in a fight.
Yeah. I think he's after this promo, it was a nice promo. He cut a rug on that Instagram. I hadn't read that one, so I'm more on the fence now. But you know what? If you want to leave Roman Pierce, don't let the door hit you or the good Lord split you. I don't think anyone gives a shit.
My thing is, I think it is funny. Like, again, I don't want to get too real here. We're not like a hashtag real podcast, but it's funny what he posted, but I do kind of, again, feel bad. Like, there's something there because he's obviously made money off these movies. He probably hasn't made The Rock money, but he's obviously made money, and he's worried about not filming this next one soon. So, again, for me, this is just insane. This whole thing is crazy every time I read it.
I mean, I hope he's okay, but it's entertaining because we're all spectators in what's essentially become a reality show spinoff of Fast and the Furious. It's a good TV show idea, by the way. So anyone listening, give me credit for that one. Have to say, how much do you think this bothers The Rock? Like, do you, I mean,
less than zero.
Do you think
less than zero. I mean, I bet he doesn't care.
I think his publicist even tells him that this is going on, because if he doesn't, The Rock never hears about it.
I don't know. Because these stars are really, really, they go on interview shows and they're like, yeah, I never read the articles and stuff like that. But like, they all have Google alerts with their name on them, so you never know. But I have to say, this is like dragged on so long that The Rock probably he can't afford to care about it anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I do feel bad for Tyrese because I hope he's okay. I really wish, you know, okay, let's maybe compromise here. Like, let me barter this deal between them. Maybe the two of them can come on the podcast. Here's my proposal. The Rock and Jason Statham can go off and do their own spinoff movie, and Tyrese and his Roman character and maybe the Han character, they can go back in time. Give them their own Netflix show. Let's have a Netflix spinoff of Fast and the Furious. That way everyone gets paid. Everybody gets their spinoff. It's proportional to their stars. I think I just solved the problem.
I would definitely watch that, at least the first season.
I think a Fast and the Furious type TV show. I don't know what the budget for that would be. I'm sorry, my dog is just trying to attack me right now. I can't concentrate. Stop. A Fast and the Furious TV show would be interesting. I like a good 10 episodes of that. Tyrese is happy. Everyone's happy. Trill Ballins is happy. Jeff Lowe's happy. Ken Jack probably will hate it.
I wouldn't watch it. I'm not going to let you. I think what the name would be.
Fast and the Furious TV show. I don't know. It's
Ranger like things.
Fast Flicks.
We'll get there.
Eventually, it is our idea. Well, it's Trill's idea. We're just riding the coattails. So some news now that is pretty amazing. Another amazing story. That's two in a row. The Shooter McGavin actor, Christopher McDonald from Happy Gilmore. Also, Ken Jack and I cast him to play Paul Manafort in our Donald Trump movie that we cast that is unreleased as of right now. He pulled the I was in Happy Gilmore card after being arrested on suspicion of DUI. There are many thoughts to this. I'm sure we can't get into most of them because we're just not that kind of podcast. But quick thoughts on pulling the I was Shooter McGavin card, because I feel like that's a card, the I played blank. That's a card that not many people can really pull where it works well.
Let me, I have this theory for you. Okay. So when it's like an A-list star and they do this, it's obnoxious and horrible and I hate it. But when it's someone who's like relatively like obscure or their star is faded, I think they should get a pass because of it. Cause then it's funny. If they're a huge star, you don't want them doing that. You're like, be humble. But if they did play Shooter McGavin, then shoot your shot. I don't blame him.
Ew.
I will say, I don't think this would have worked in 1996, though. And I don't think it's working in 2017. So I don't blame him for trying. But you know what, Shooter? I'm sorry. That's one shot you can't make.
Hey!
Gross.
Have you heard about this?
we're so muddled by Twitter and internet hive mind that if I was that cop and he was like, dude, I played Shooter McGavin, I'd be like, oh, like you're Shooter McGavin, the parody Twitter account. And in that, in which case I would have let him free. No questions asked. Like, go on. You are such a savior of Twitter and everybody loves you because your tweets are so good and nobody hates them and is so tired of them. So if it was him, we'd be great. But I think if it's actual Shooter McGavin, I'm just like, I don't know. You were pretty funny, I guess. $200 ticket. Oh, wait, no, it was a DUI. You go to jail, asshole.
Ken Jack is an interesting cop. He just kind of gives out random tickets.
Just like my random gradings. It's you know, it's pass fail. You go to jail for life, maybe get executed, or you're free to go.
That's your take on Happy Death Day, I think, actually. Again,
execution. We'll
I just want to know what kind of Porsche did he have? What kind of Porsche did he run off the road?
Hey, I actually saw him in New York a few weeks ago, and I believe I messaged you guys about it. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Group he was coming out of the bagel place or walking by the bagel place. And at that same spot 2 days ago, I told you guys that I also saw Morgan Spurlock, the guy behind Super Size Me.
Boo.
He was looking fly. He had a real dapper suit on. He was looking good.
Could it have just been a random ginger in a suit and you just thought it was Morgan Spurlock?
It was definitely Morgan Spurlock.
I love
some bank teller. Oh, yeah, it's Morgan Spurlock.
Oh, guys, sorry. Got to get the door. Trick-or-treaters.
Trick-or-treat!
Hey there, what are you supposed to be?
Elsa from Frozen.
Ugh, so cute. Well, let's see here. I've got a fresh DVD for you.
What? Battlefield Earth?
Yep, this one is from 2000. It's based off a book by L. Ron Hubbard, the creator of Scientology. It only made $30 million at the box office, despite a $73 million budget, but it's got John Travolta in it.
Thanks.
Of course. All right, back to the podcast. All right, last thing up. Star Wars makes its way into... Oh, no, actually, we have two more. So not the last thing. We'll save the best for last. But yes, Star Wars. They are apparently planning out the next 10 years of movies right now. Kathleen Kennedy went on the Star Wars internet show, the president of Lucasfilm, and talked about that and mentioned that they may be going further with the story of Rey and Finn and Poe and BB-8 past episode 9, which is, I'm not going to say I'm surprised, but that's interesting because, I mean, no one up until, you know, these new characters has done more than one trilogy. But really, no one's going to get through all of them because obviously Harrison Ford died, Carrie Fisher passed away, won't be in 9. Mark Hamill really wasn't in The Force Awakens. He was in it for a few seconds. So no one's really been fully in terms of a main character in more than one trilogy. So what do we want here? And so not just what we've seen now recently. What do we want down the road? Quickly, Star Wars, if they're planning something out. We've done this before, but we did it on our Test Star Wars podcast. You can still find that on iTunes. But for the new listeners, give them a little taste.
For the careers of the young actors involved, like I hope contractually they do not have to play these characters into perpetuity because I want to see them go off and do different things and grow as actors. So let me say that. Like that's why I'm excited about the only reason I'm excited about Murder on the Orient Express is because it will be great to see Daisy Ridley in a big movie that's not Star Wars, even though we all love her in Star Wars. It's hard for me to say what I really want out of the mainline movies without having seen you know, the other 66% of them. But if we don't get Plagueis in this trilogy, I want Plagueis, man. Just close the loop for me. You mentioned him in the first prequel trilogy. You cannot just not bring him up again. So that's the only thing I really, really want.
Yep, that would be really cool, I think, to kind of see like a prequel go way back. I don't know what else to put it. And but get like really far back into like the Star Wars outside of, I guess, the canon universe, annals of history for the universe would be really nice. Cool. That I think
we'll
it would be.
We'll bleep that out. We'll bleep that out.
Sorry, listeners.
Main worry here, though, is there's a saturation and there's an overexposure point for everything. And as much as people say, like, I don't want to stop getting Star Wars. Like, is there going to be a point where people are just like too many star? We can't maintain a one Star Wars movie per year, or are we ever going to get to that point? Because I could probably want. Go ahead.
They have to expand it. I think that's the big thing. They have to expand it outside this small universe, because, I mean, there's rumors again about Darth Vader being in the Han Solo movie. You'll probably see Boba Fett. 3PO and R2 were right up in your face in Rogue One. Vader. So they got expanded outside of that. That's why I don't really know what I would want. I'm still into the idea of something quirky, like a pod racing type movie, like Fast and the Furious pod racing type thing. I'm not saying, you know, go along those lines of schlock, but get that really far awful. Out there. Okay,
sounds
that's fair.
That sounds horrible.
This is pod racing, a Star Wars story?
What was the thing he says? Wizard. Hmm? Is that what he says? Like Anakin's like catchphrase when he's like pod racing? Does he have a catchphrase?
He said, now this is pod
racing. You thinking of a video game?
I thought he said something like wizard. Like that's wizard.
He said, no, this is pod racing. That's all I know.
Yeah. Maybe this is my bursting.
Well, look, it's probably awful, but my point is something way out there. Not with one of these main characters. You know, not a young Princess Leia. Not a follow Anakin and Obi-Wan again in the Clone Wars. I would like an actual Clone Wars movie where they're actually fighting and it's an actual war the whole time. But we'll see. So Star Wars is planning out for a long time. It ain't going anywhere anytime soon. And I know Lucasfilm and Disney have their eye on Marvel too, because as Marvel goes, I'm sure they'll keep going with Star Wars because people aren't sick of Marvel right now, but we'll see where that turns after Infinity War.
Maybe people will never get sick of them though. I mean, maybe this is something I could probably watch every year. I mean, sitting here right now, I would like to see something that's like more of the Knights of the Old Republic type style. That's just like real old school type, like Star Wars story with some like deep lore and some nerd stuff. I don't know if that'd be a movie or a TV series, but I think that'd be cool. And that's probably the direction they'd have to go. And it wouldn't shock me if they started, like they already kind of did it with Thrawn a little bit, like in the book, bringing back some of the expanded universe type characters that are already like beloved by fans, as hard as that is to admit.
So give us your Star Wars thoughts. What would you want to see? And get creative. And I mean, I'm sure we're going to get some jokes, which is fine. But if you have a legitimate Star Wars wish, let us know. Maybe we'll talk about it on Real Dump next week, because we have a few stories we skipped over that we'll talk about on Real Dump next week. More some serious movies that we'll get into.
Oh, shit. That's weird. I also have trick-or-treaters, even though I live on a fifth-floor walk-up in Manhattan. I'll be right back. Hey there, what are you supposed to be?
I'm Aragorn from Lord of the Rings.
Well, I mean, clearly you're Legolas. I mean, you have elf ears, and Aragorn, although part of the Dunedain, is still a man.
Just give me some fucking candy.
Well, I don't have candy, but here is a scratched-up DVD.
What the hell is this, E.T.?
Nope, even better. Mac and Me. I hope you like McDonald's.
Thanks?
Happy Halloween. Alright, I'm back, guys.
Alright, we're good? Good, okay. So let's get into some reviews, because we're reviewing three movies today. First up will be Geostorm. Next up will be Boo 2 and Madea Halloween, followed by Happy Death Day. And then we're going to play a Rotten Tomatoes game, which we've teased before. And we're going to start our box office fantasy movie league. By the way, next week, get this in your head now, Thor Ragnarok. So you don't have much time to see it. It comes out on Thursday, November 2nd. So you'll have about a week to see it. But next week, Thor. So first up, Geostorm. And we actually didn't really talk before the podcast how we were going to do this. But if you don't remember, we all watched it in different parts. Ken Jack watched the first 33 minutes. Trill watched the middle 33 minutes. And I watched the last 33 minutes. So we really don't know what happened in the rest of the movie. And I was worried by watching the last 33 that I would get a good sense of what happened in the first 66. I have no fucking idea what happened. It was one of the worst movies I've seen this year, easily. I gave it a 6 out of 100. You guys gave it a worse score.
I gave my 33-minute segment a 1 out of 100. It was that bad. It was awful. Let me read to you a line of dialogue. We don't walk out on each other. That's the unspoken code between brothers. Gerard Butler said that to say. He said that to somebody.
What was his actual brother?
Yeah, it's
okay,
his brother.
So remember, I don't know that. And I only learned that Jim Sturgis's character and Gerard Butler's character were brothers like pretty later on in that movie.
I'll tell you what happens in the middle 33 minutes, and then I'll tell you what I think happens in the first well, and So I picked up at a scene where it was like it was kind of like a romantic scene, a love scene. There was some kissing involved, and I think it was Jim Sturgess's character, and he's like married to a Secret Service agent lady, and they're satellites, right? And the satellites are in the air like satellites tend to do. And the satellites are malfunctioning. The Hong Kong satellite specifically is malfunctioning. And I don't know, because I hadn't seen the previews, I don't know exactly what these satellites do. But I'm assuming because it's called Geostorm, they control the weather. Am I right on that one, Ken Jack?
Yes.
The satellites control the weather. So now we have this existential threat because we have satellites that control the weather and they're not working. Okay. And so now the satellites don't work and Gerard Butler's character is now feuding with his brother who like works for the White House down on the ground. And now he's got to go fix the satellites because he's up in space. And they bring this satellite in to fix it, and the satellite starts going crazy and bashing up all over the place and breaks, and then they investigate the satellite. And then it turns out that the satellites have gone rogue, but I don't know why the satellites have gone rogue because that's not in my part of the movie. So let me say, satellites control the weather in Ken Jack's part. They set up the entire movie. In my part, we find out they go rogue, and then the end, they just fuck up everything and tear everything apart. But at the end of the day, Gerard Butler saves the day and probably dies.
Ooh, I like that.
So I have absolutely no guess for the beginning. I have no guess for the beginning at all. I really don't, because I was beyond confused. So I guess I don't even know what the name of the damn satellite was. I'll get into mine after, but Ken Jack.
Wasn't it Dutch Boy? Am I wrong? I might have been wrong on that.
What weren't there satellites for like every location? Like I thought they were named after, like, cause like one was like Hong Kong. I thought like they were like over every place.
Maybe
city.
The system is called Dutch Boy. I might be wrong on that.
Boy?
I think so. I might be totally wrong.
I heard Dutch Boy mentioned a few times. Like, so the name Dutch Boy was definitely in the movie at some point. They said Geostorm, I think, in my section too. So it was always nice to get the name of the movie like within the movie itself.
I'm Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. Wait, Jeff, so do you want to do yours and then I give the beginning or?
Yeah, let me give mine. So my first note was Gerard Butler is freaking the fuck out. So I got into it at a part, if I remember correctly, where they were all on the space station and they were trying to sabotage and bring it down. Is that where yours left off, Trill?
Yes.
Like they were trying to save it? There's a big ice storm in Rio.
Which is not supposed to happen. I didn't see that, but that's not supposed to happen. Just based on what I know about weather.
Yeah. So there was a virus, is what you learned pretty quickly in my third. A virus in the satellite system, I guess called Dutch Boy. That's news to me.
Dutch Boy got a virus and take hitting up the red light district in good old Amsterdam.
and the virus is now causing these crazy weather events. And so Rio freezes over. I have a note that just says Billy Bob Thornton ? So I wasn't quite sure why that was happening at the time. Then I do recall there was a lot of fake ass like news reports, like really bad fake news. Remember we talked about in Kingsman they had clear Fox News branding? Like this was like fake high school looking news. And then Jim Sturgess like punches something on his iPad. It's like Geostorm location. And he just like punches in a bunch of shit and it says next location is Orlando. And they're in Orlando because that's where the Democratic National Convention is. The president is the character played by Andy Garcia, right?
Yeah, I think. I didn't really get to see him in my part.
Was he in your part, Trill?
I don't remember, honestly.
I had a lot of Ed Harris in mine.
I had Ed Harris, who's, I believe, the Secretary of State, I think.
So they're looking for the president. I believe it's the president. They call him the president. And in the trailer, they say you kidnapped the president. But behind him, it says vice president on the DNC screen. So that was incredibly confusing for me off the bat. Because I didn't know who the hell they were talking about. Who do you guys know who the bad guy was?
No.
Now, was there a bad guy? I just assumed the so Geostorm.
Yeah, guess who the villain was. Who the villain who put the virus in the satellite was.
Ed Harris.
Jim Sturgess.
Okay, so Jim Sturgess is a good guy. It was Ed Harris.
It had to be Ed Harris. Look at Ed Harris.
So Sturgess goes after the president because they think the president is the one that is sabotaging the satellites, and then they're on their way to get him, and Ed Harris tries to shoot Jim Sturgis, and that's when you figure all that out.
What's the given motivation for the president, the fictional president in this movie, to sabotage the satellites?
Well, no, so he's not. It's Ed Harris who's doing it.
But they thought he was. Like, why would they think he would be doing
it? They didn't have a reason.
Oh, they're just like, oh God,
it's proof. You got to trust me.
It's got to be Andy Garcia. It's just got to be.
I guess there's something with like the kill codes. Like everything traces back. Like only the president has the kill codes. It's like his fingerprints. So there's a storm brewing over Orlando, like this crazy ass lightning storm, which at the time I believed to be the Geo storm. I'm like, oh, this is it. This is the Geo storm.
Wait. So does the United States maintain the whole worldwide weather system?
It was like, in my part, they talk about like they got 17 countries to agree to like host satellites or something.
Okay.
Well, because Orlando is conveniently not only where the DNC is, but you later learn that's where, like at NASA, the Kennedy Space Center, that's where they control the satellites. Very convenient. So Jim Sturgis and his fiance, who's also part of the Secret Service, incredibly
that can't be allowed either.
There's a good line in the middle of it about like her being in the Secret Service. I forget what it was, but like they made it very clear she was in the Secret Service.
They kidnap the president in a self-driving car, which ends up being an incredible ex machina. Mm. And they run away. And as they leave the Orlando arena, which is a fake arena, one of the Geostorm lightning bolts strikes the arena and blows up the Democratic National Convention. The whole arena blows up. Like, it gets hit by a couple bolts of lightning and it explodes.
Tropical storm Benghazi.
And then they go, no. So they drive away and...
Sir, lightning bolts, sir. Have you no decency? Have you no decency, sir? It's just everybody responding to the lightning bolts tweets. Sir.
So that happens. They drive away. And there's a confrontation between Ed Harris and Jim Sturgis' character and the president. And actually, Ed Harris is just like, well, I'll do it myself. And he's going to shoot the car, which is housing the president, that's driving at him. Because basically, the point is, Ed Harris' character wants to wipe out everybody so he becomes president. So that car is driving at Ed Harris. He shoots it, blows up. Guess what? He turns around. They're all behind him because it was the self-driving car and nobody was in it. And they were controlling it from the side. So the fiance, the Secret Service girl, and Jim Sturgis, along with the president, corner Ed Harris. He says something to the president, Andy Garcia, about why he's doing what he's doing and like why he's stopping him. And Andy Garcia says this line, because I'm the goddamn president of the United States. And then like punches him in the face. Or I believe Jim Sturgis punches him. And then that's kind of it there. But up in space, while this is all happening, Gerard Butler's character is beating the shit out of some nerd who put the virus in the system. And again, I'll cut to the chase here. They save Earth. Like a bunch of different things are happening and the countdown is happening to the actual geostorm. So that's when I figured out, oh, the geostorm hasn't happened yet. It's just a lightning storm. So at the last second, Gerard Butler saves it. No geostorm happens, despite the fact the world is torn the hell apart. See,
the name of the movie is Geostorm, and we don't even get the damn Geostorm.
There is no Geostorm in this movie.
Oh, that's so infuriating.
But I will say, some of these cities are destroyed. Orlando is decimated. Decimated. Everyone is dead in Orlando. Except for, like, right on the outskirts is where the president and Ed Harris are. Somehow, they happen to get out on the one, like, outskirts.
Hong Kong was, like, in my part, Hong Kong was totally fucked up, like, absolutely destroyed. And then a Geostorm event happens also.
Dubai? Underwater. The Burj Khalifa is tipping over, like bending. So it was some messed up shit. And then Gerard Butler can't get off the ship, but he somehow finds a way to turn in one of the satellites into an escape pod. And then the Mexico satellite team, they come and they save him and they come down to Earth. And I mean, they're celebrating. Like there's no reason this rocket ship escape pod should have been saved. But they get down to Earth. They're celebrating. And the line is, they go, a miracle indeed. I mean, the world is destroyed. These cities are destroyed. Many major cities are gone. Millions, billions are dead. So, that was long-winded. I'm sorry, but it was absurd. The whole last 33 minutes was on a level of 2012, which is one of the worst movies ever made.
Nothing happened in my portion. It's so disappointing. It was the most boring 30, 33 minutes of cinema I'd ever watched. How did this movie get made? It's so stupid. And I'm also shocked Gerard Butler's character did not die. Because he seemed like he was set up to be like the character who had, you know, like these movies always have like that death that tries to squeeze some manufactured emotional value out of it. I thought Gerard Butler was going to be that guy in this movie, but I guess he wasn't. I guess we do know why Geostorm has been getting terrible reviews. It's a bad movie.
Yeah, it stinks. The acting stinks. It feels like a fake movie. You're right. The Gerard Butler storyline, you have to see the end of it. How he saves himself and this random person from the space station that stuck around somehow despite the fact the place was blowing up. Because, by the way, in order to stop the Geostorm from happening, they have to have it in self-destruct mode. And you can't stop the self-destruct mode. But then again, he somehow saves himself and they're all fine and they go back down to Earth. It's just, it's bafflingly awful. But I still don't know how any of that shit got set up.
The first 30.
On that first 33.
Yeah, you just found out there's satellites.
I feel like it wasn't as bad as your guys' section, even though I rated it one of the worst. In ours, it opens up with, I don't know if either of you have played Mass Effect 3, but you do remember? Nerd. Have you? I don't know.
Nerd. No, I don't play bad games. I only play good games.
there's these really creepy moments where like a child narrates over the storyline in it. And like they have that for the opening scene where they talk about how like the world is exploding and Gerard Butler is like a scientist and he invents, I guess, Dutch Boy, and it saves the entire Earth. And they don't explain exactly how it works, but they show you like a visualization of it happening, like a storm's happening. And the satellite basically shoots a bunch of like pellets, like literally looks like deer diarrheaing all over a storm. And then like it dissipates everything. It makes no sense. And that's how I guess it works.
It's just a bunch of Xanax. You shoot Xanax up into a storm. It's like, oh, okay, I'm good.
And then it cuts to Gerard Butler in DC, like defending his project. Cause I guess apparently the whole world hates him now for no reason. And like, it's a bunch of senators, like almost, do you know the opening scene in Iron Man 2? Where it's just like all the senators being irrationally angry at somebody who's like saved all of them. It's like that, except it's like even more Gerard Butler being more of a dickhead.
Yeah, and wait, why are they mad at him? I don't understand that.
I don't really understand it either, to be honest. And so he's a scientist and his brother Jim Sturgis is his lawyer. And what they tell you after the trial is that they kicked Gerard Butler, the scientist, off of the project of Dutch Boy. And they hired on Jim Sturgis to take his place, who is not a scientist. He's a lawyer. So they hired him to lead the Dutch Boy project. It makes no fucking sense. And then after that, they show Hong Kong getting like blown up by lava. Or they didn't really explain too much. I don't understand how the storm element gets affected until like tectonic plates, but I guess that's a thing. And then they cut to Jim Sturgis going to find Gerard Butler and take him out of retirement. And even though he's like one of the world's most famous scientists and literally saved the planet, he lives in a trailer park in like Nebraska. Jim Sturgis tells him to get out and like, or to like come save the world. Cause he's the only one who knows how it works. So they bring him to like, what do you call it? Cape Canaveral. And then they ferry him up to space. It's like just by himself in like basically a chartered flight to space. And it's just him. I'm like, that would cost like $1 billion to shoot someone into space. And I don't think they would take just him.
Wait, are you sure? Hold on. You sure he doesn't live in space. Florida?
I don't know. He was like in a trailer in like a flat wasteland. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. But then they
Florida, Nebraska. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you guys are a bunch of New York elitists. You don't know. If it's not New York City, it's just a flat wasteland.
It kind of reminded me of Staten Island a little bit. I don't know. Like, you go out in the boonies, I don't know, something like that. And then the last scene I saw was he goes to the space station and meets with the team on Dutch Boy, and nobody knows who he is, like the entire team. This should be the most famous scientist on Earth. And everyone's like, hey, who's this asshole that they brought to like take charge? And he's like, I'm Gerard Butler. And they're like, oh, we didn't know that. It's like, he saved the fucking planet. Have you ever been on Wikipedia for the project you're on?
I have a question, and then we can, if anyone else has questions, go for it. We'll try to all help each other out. What is Jim Sturgis's character's role with the White House?
He's a lawyer. That's what I got. They told it in the first 30.
But what does he have to do with the White House? Why is he with the president's team at the DNC?
I could never figure that out. I thought he was like a counsel or something like that. I don't know. But I do know he is like engaged to a Secret Service agent. So she's also involved.
I love that he's a lawyer, by the way, because I just thought he was a scientist the whole time. He had some fancy iPad and was calculating where the geostorm would hit.
I thought he was a politician in my segment. I didn't know like what he did.
So he goes from lawyer to politician to scientist.
Oh, jack of all trades.
This cast, like, they spent all their money on Gerard Butler, and it's like, oops, we forgot. It reminded me of like a CSI Miami type of cast. This felt like just a longer episode of like CSI Geostorm or some shitty show like that.
It's disaster porn to the highest level possible, but it's not even good. The movie looks like shit, by the way. The special effects are garbage. The video, you got to see the end of this movie. Maybe you don't. It's awful. But the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, it's bent, but it looks like Gumby. Like, that's how bad it is. The whole CGI, all the special effects, they're garbage.
I think you're right. It is like disaster porn, but from what you're telling me, it's basically like you don't even get the money shot because you don't get the geostorm.
No, there's no geostorm. Geostorm happens.
It'd be like 2012, but the movie ends in like 2011, like November 2011.
Didn't quite get there.
That was a good joke. We'll use that as a promo.
Dante's Peak, except the volcano just like sputters out.
Flatlining.
And it's gonna be that's our crutch now. Is we're just gonna yell and flatlining whenever we need to finish.
Buy your shirts today on TeePublic.
I'm flatlining.
Day after tomorrow, except it stays on the day and doesn't go to tomorrow.
Flatlining.
I do want to know, by the way, sidebar here, back to our website, our TeePublic storefront. Actually, I want to know what the person who helped me set that up today was thinking when she saw our shirts. Goth God looking like a snack. I'm flatlining. I'm buttering. So we're like, oh my God, pass this off to somebody else, please. So Geostorm was awful. You guys gave it both a 3 out of 100 when you combine and multiply it by 3. I gave it a 6 out of 100. It sucked. I don't think we have anything else to say about this movie, but I'm glad I only had to see 33 minutes of it.
Yeah, that's true.
I was very glad when I walked out of that place. And that takes a lot to spend money on something and only watch 30 minutes of it. So
it does. Yeah. So Geostorm, hard don't go see it. Combined score out of the three of us was a 12 out of 300. So that's about as much of a stay away as you can.
Sorry, guys. Got to take care of this again. I'll just be right back.
Trick or treat!
Oh, hey, guys. Wow, you guys sure are cute. Hey, gonna be honest with you. Kind of ran out of DVDs, and all I really have is a copy of the DreamWorks animated movie Shark's Tale. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to throw out in the yard, and you guys can just go fight and get it. And all right, have a nice night.
Boo 2, a Madea Halloween.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Boo 1, it wasn't called Boo 1. It was just called Boo, a Madea Halloween. Was horrible.
I booed both.
Wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen, though. Ken Jack, you were the first out of the three of us to see it, and your experience stunk, for better or worse?
Yeah, like, both metaphorically and actually, because people brought hot food into the theater, which I didn't know was legal in the United States. But it was just a miserable experience all around. I live tweeted it for those who follow me, at LCP Ken Jack, please follow me. So it was really bad, like a horrific experience.
There What'd you
like,
give it out of 100?
I gave it a 1. So I was going to give it a 0, but I feel like if you go that far, like the absolute bare bottom of the spectrum, it seems hyperbolic and people will be like, oh, you're just being like a hot take artist or something. Like, I want people to very viscerally know, do not watch this movie under any circumstances. It was miserable. There were 6 people in the theater and they were all cracking up at these horrible, like, racist and pedophilic jokes. It was really, really uncomfortable, and I didn't even nothing landed.
Wait, were you one of the 6, or was there 6 more after you?
Like, I was the first one in the theater, and I sent you guys a picture, and then like
he's not lying. He was the only one in that theater when he got there.
Was there a single good part of this movie? Can you guys think of? I can't either.
No, actually, Trill, do you want to? You got something?
Yeah. Hey, Ken Jack, do you remember when you're supposed to see Flatliners and you didn't? And you saw Blade Runner?
Yes. What'd you see instead?
We didn't see Boo 2.
Wait, you didn't either see it? You didn't see it either, Jeff?
No.
No.
Oh, fuck you.
We got you. We made you see this movie, bitch.
Oh, man. Payback is a bitch, huh?
And they were named Medea.
How much did you pay to go see Medea? Just
say it. I paid.
Happy Halloween.
I paid a crisp Alexander Hamilton for this fucking movie.
No.
Off my corporate discount.
He was he was in the theater. He was either in the theater, he left, and Trill and I just messaged and we said he didn't see Flatliners. Let's just not see this shit.
You guys should have at least seen a better movie.
Oh, the whole week, like, we were saying, like, oh, man, Boo 2 is bad. Can't wait to talk about it on the podcast.
Because they kept, you fucking liars. Jeff's messaging me. I'm like, yeah, Jeff, do you remember this part? And Jeff's like, yeah. Damn, that part sucked. And
Ken Jack's like, you know, it was really pedophilic. I'm like, sure.
Yeah. I'm like, that's something that we want to talk about in the podcast. Not. I'm going to do you know not jokes now. Looks like the real Lion King is us.
Oh,
fuck you guys.
Give us your you know, your man on the street quick thoughts here.
It's an overtly creepy movie. There's a lot of 16-year-olds being hit on by 80-year-old men and 25-year-old men and frat parties with 16-year-olds in it. It's really fucking creepy and uncomfortable, and I don't know how it got made, and I don't know how it got cleared by any sort of rating company. It's just fucking garbage, and it's the worst movie I think I've seen this entire year, which is saying a lot.
Well, I'm sorry you had to see it.
No, you're not.
The joke is mostly on me because I will watch it eventually because I do try to watch everything. But, Trill, you get off easy here. Will you ever watch this movie, Trill?
I'm not going to watch this movie. I'm not going to do it. I just, you know, I just don't want to see it. So, yeah. But, Ken Jack, look, you sacrificed for the podcast, and we appreciate that, even though we had to pay you back for not seeing Flatliners. We did it.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
1 out of 100. That's a bad score, and you know what? You got a laugh out of us.
You guys got a laugh out of me. If any, that's what I said. I'm broken. I'm sorry.
He's a broken man. guys, sorry. Doorbell's ringing again.
Trick or treat.
Whoa, scary. Who are you dressed up as?
Freddy Krueger.
Yikes. You spooked me. Speaking of spooking, I've got a pretty funny DVD for you.
Ah, yeah, I love movie. Wait, what is this?
Yeah, that's Tim and Eric's $1 billion movie. A classic from comedians Tim and Eric. It stars John C. Reilly as a dying homeless man named Taquito, and part of the plot hinges on a character taking a bath in diarrhea.
Do you have, like, candy?
No, we don't have any candy.
Okay, thanks.
Be safe. Oh, shit. Gotta get back to the podcast. We did joke with Ken Jack that Trill and I found an illegal stream, and that's how we watched the movie. That's how we played it off that we watched Boo 2. Happy Death Day, though. We did watch. And this is going to be a bit polarizing, I believe, because there are some differing opinions on this podcast. It's a 2-1 final score in terms of who enjoyed this movie and who didn't enjoy this movie. I will give a quick score. I gave this movie the third 69 out of 100 for me this year.
Nice.
I almost called it Flatliners. Flatliners did not get that high of a score. Happy Death Day, I gave a 69 out of 100. Trill, what about you?
I gave it a 70 out of 100, so I'm right there with you. Ken Jack, what's your score? He's so shaken up right now. He's like, he's visibly upset.
He warned us if we rated anything above a single digit, he'd be pissed, and we're already up basically at the 70s.
I gave it a 9 out of 100.
Oh, no.
It is not. So let's start with Ken Jack, okay? Ken Jack.
How about this? Since you guys both liked it to a degree, I should just go through it and give me my gripes, and you tell me why those gripes are unfounded. I think that should work.
All right, quickly run through them. Hammer them off.
Let's do it. Her name is
Tree.
Short for Teresa. It's a nickname.
Who nicknamed? What person named Teresa do you know nicknamed Tree? Trill Ballins.
Why not?
We call him Tree Ballins all the time.
Yeah, Tree Ballins. Yeah, I know a lot of people named Tree personally. So
I label you a fucking liar. So there's problem number one.
Sorry, I'm defeating your points with facts and logic and reason.
You watch too much Rick and Morty for me. I'm sorry. I know. Gonna be tough. So, what is the point of this movie? Why does she keep coming back to life? In every other movie where you have a repetition of day, like fucking that other garbage movie with Tom Cruise that you guys like.
Oh my God, that's right. You hate, I forget. Oh, I forgot you hate Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Graphic movie.
So Edge of Tomorrow, you understand why the day is repeating. Groundhog Day, you understand why the day is repeating. You never get told at any point in this movie why this is happening to her. Like, you get the supposition, but you don't, like, is it God? Is it a higher power? Is she cursed? Is she hexed? You have no fucking clue, and they never tell you.
I didn't need that. I understand your complaint, but, like, I didn't need that. It just happened.
You didn't need a plot driver for the entire movie?
Get through your gripes.
Yeah.
No, I think you guys should address them one by one as they come.
Let's do this.
Okay.
All right, let's do this. So she keeps dying, and she keeps waking up, and she relives each day, and she becomes a better person as she does it. And then eventually she breaks the cycle because she is a good person and has realized her mistakes.
But, like, I don't think you need to know it. I don't need to know the reason why.
It's a fantasy horror movie.
You know what it is? And, again, I'm going to stop apologizing every time we bring up Star Wars.
Why can Haley Joel Osment can see Bruce Willis? You can't see ghosts.
It's the same thing as to why people didn't like the prequels to Star Wars. You don't need everything explained. I don't need to know where the Emperor came from. Like, I just accept that this is what it is. I view this movie as satire a bit. Do you agree, Trill? I think a lot of the movie was satire. I classify this almost more as a comedy than I do a horror movie.
It's kind of a dark comedy in some respects. There are parts where it took itself way too seriously. So I'm sure Ken Jack will agree with that. The line at the end where the kid asked her if she's ever seen Groundhog Day and she's like never heard of it, kind of like cemented it as like, okay, this movie was just like supposed to be a gas. So yeah, I'm right there with you. Next point.
All right. So this is one part that we're just going to go through some parts that I didn't like in it. So do you remember the scene where she goes to the hospital? First of all, this hospital is abandoned at all hours.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid.
Lights are out, no staff. Why?
Well, I think where you're going with this is this, right? So she wants to kill this maniac serial killer who they're keeping at the hospital with one police officer there, right? And instead of just telling the police officer what's about to happen.
Pause your story. Spoilers, folks. I'm sorry we didn't tee this up beforehand. We haven't spoiled anything yet, but from here on out, spoilers. All right, continue.
Okay. So she brings a knife with her, and she holds the cop up at knife point in order to get his gun, and then uses the gun on the serial killer, except she has the safety on. So I agree. That whole thing was very, very stupid, and that was some of the worst horror movie logic I'd ever seen in a horror movie. But it's a horror movie, so those things, like, my suspension of disbelief is just, like, through the charts at this point. So, I don't know. Mio, maybe it bothered you, Ken Jack. Maybe you're a little baby, and you need everything drawn out for you, and goo goo gaga. I get that. You know, we're Rick and Morty watchers. We watch Rick and Morty. So, we can kind of fill in the blanks with our minds. So yeah.
Fill in the blanks as in all the hospital staff that don't exist. And for some reason, the lights are out at like 8 p.m. Like, lights out, hospital's
but
done
again,
for the night.
I think it was pulling on horror movie cliches. I think there were a lot of cliches that they were putting out there on purpose. That's how I viewed it. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's not what they wanted to do. But that's, again, why I viewed, like, example, the empty hospital.
I think if I view this as a comedy, it's a shitty comedy. If I view it as a horror, it's a shitty horror. So either way, it's bad. But one of the scenes in the hospital is when the guy, Carter, like, attacks the serial killer, and the serial killer kills the shit out of him, and then also picks up a gun and then mows down a nurse. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the serial killer chases her down the steps, and, like, she beats him up. But before she kills him, she's like, wait. He killed Carter, so I need to reset the day, otherwise he won't live. This is just more of a picky part, but, like, what about the nurse that got gunned down in your place because you're in the way?
You're nitpicking now.
This is a nitpicky part, but I was like, damn, that lady sacrificed her life for you, and you're like, yeah, but what about Carter? I think it's a problem if somebody literally sacrifices their life for you, and you're just like, ah, but what about that guy and his nice hog and who's been white knighting for me all night? That's the guy I want to save. We'll move on. I think the other scene, another scene I disliked was in the frat party. That whole entire scene, everything in that frat party at like the whatever the sorority, not sorority, fraternity house. That whole part made me so mad, like viscerally angry at how.
But see, I think you took it too seriously.
But even if I'm taking this as like a funny movie, it's still not funny.
I think it was dark satire. I mean, everything was exaggerated. Literally, she's about to be murdered in that frat house, and a brother walks into the room, and instead of saving her, like thinks she's about to have sex with the murderer, and he's like, "Oh, right on," and he kind of falls out the door. I mean, it's sad. It's a joke.
So it's basically a scary movie, except like 30% less campy. Not even 30, like 20% less campy.
Sure.
That's still garbage. That is still trash.
He's so mad about this.
You know what? I respect your opinion, Ken Jack. You just didn't like this movie. Something about this movie, it's like when people look at my face, they don't like my face. You know, there's just something about it they don't like, and it just makes them mad. And there's just everything about this movie, the way it looked, the way it felt, you just didn't like.
I respect it. And look, I'll get into it, I'm sure, with some followers now and then, like jokingly. But I always say, I will always respect your movie opinion, unless it's absurdly outlandish and there's some clear bias behind it. My issue with your opinion, despite the fact that I do respect it, is I think you're nitpicking, but you're nitpicking it down to a 9? Yeah. I mean, a 9.
What did you give the emoji movie? What do you give the emoji movie again?
I think a 5.
So that's four. It's 4 better than the emoji movie?
I see. At least the emoji movie, you get a plot driver behind it.
There was a plot here.
Yeah,
just you don't know why any of this is happening at all.
But I don't need to know why. Maybe some people don't. Maybe, you know, this is a bridge we'll never be able to gap. You know, so I like the discourse here. At least we're talking.
I think the galaxy brain moment for you guys must have been the scene where she farts in the diner. That's when you guys were like, this is. That's the must have been the moment when you guys were like, wow, this one's a 70.
This is Godfather Part 2. My God. Did she just fart? That's when I leaned over to my wife and whispered, that's Chappie.
Look, to be fair, we also didn't rate this an Oscar winner. I gave it a below a 70. Issues with it. Some of the jokes didn't land. The fart joke I didn't laugh at. I laugh at fart jokes. That's not one I laughed at.
What joke did you laugh at?
I just thought it was enjoyable. I thought it was clever.
I get some chuckles out of it. I didn't think it was too hard for some of the jokes.
Let me tell you what bothered me about the movie. Like, this is an actual legitimate concern I think I had. I thought the pacing in the first, 45 minutes was way off. I thought they spent too much time on her reliving the same scenes over and over. And I know why they had to do that, but I thought they spent too much time on the fights and the struggles with the her killer who is trying to kill her. That's where I thought it took it too seriously, because you knew she wasn't going to make it. Like, the only suspense there you had was she going to take off the mask and find out who it was? I thought it would have been better if it just would have her seeing the killer and then cut, and then she woke up the next day, and then they kept doing that more and more times. So I didn't think she had enough loops. I like the loops movie. I like Groundhog Day. I like The Edge of Tomorrow. I like the whole concept. Yeah. Well, the Looper's not really like that. It's just named Looper. But you got me to agree on it based on the name. You're like Looper? I'm like, yeah, definitely Looper. Looper's a loop movie. Love that shit. Ken Jack, I don't think you like this movie. I think that's okay. I think that's respect opinion. I think you think maybe the device is lazy. And it's a way to tell a story that is just not based in any reality. And when it doesn't have an overarching explanation of why, you just can't really buy into that as a fantasy movie. Is that correct?
I think that's part of it. I think another big part of it, and this is where I'll, throw you guys a bone, is I watched this with someone else. I don't know if you guys saw it solo or with someone else. Did you?
Yeah, dude. I saw it with my sweetie of a wife. Yeah.
No, just yep. Me. No,
little date night murder movie. You know what I'm talking about?
So I saw this with somebody else, and I think part of it is that both of us hated it, and then our hatred of it and our view of it amplified each other, and our hatred bounced off and made it 20 times more hyperbolic and overwhelming.
Sounds like you're backtracking a little bit, but go on.
Oh, no. I stick with this opinion 100%, and I do not back down on it. I mean, it will be on my top 5 horror movies next week, but it was definitely bounced off of, and it echoed and made it 10 times more amplified because the person I watched it with also hated it. So I think that's my the part of why it's definitely as low as it is for me, but every part of it just made me more and more mad.
I mean, I had issues with a good amount of it too. A fair amount of it. I can't say good amount because I still rated it a 69, almost a 70.
Nice.
Nice.
It is a lot of the same. We've had this movie before, Groundhog Day, Edge of Tomorrow. There was literally a movie with Zoe Deutsch this year called Before I Fall. Almost the same exact thing, except it's not a horror movie, but it's her living a day over and over again. So it feels a lot of the same. So it's not like a crazy new concept, but in that sense, I am a sucker for this idea because I do think it was something different. If this had been like an action movie again or a drama like the Zoe Deutsch movie, then yeah, sure, I'd probably say, all right, like, let's move on, same thing. But it was the horror genre, so I gave it credit. And I liked how it really had a satirical look on a lot of things. I don't know. I felt like, I mean, the college is called the Bayfield Babies. It was stupid. Like, it was stupid on purpose. I don't think it took itself too seriously for the most part. I agree, Trill, at some point it did. But, I mean, you hate her off the bat, the main actress, who was in La La Land, by the way. Amazing.
Jessica
movie.
Roth. Jessica Roth did a fantastic job in this movie.
Yeah, I think, like, she was good.
So you hate her off the bat, but you hate the other characters even more, which at first I'm like, okay, why am I going to root for her? She sucks. But then, like, her sorority sister, you hate her more. So there's a lot of layers and elements to that in the beginning that I like. Like, I connected with the character a bit, and you want to see her, you know, become better as the movie goes on and become wiser to how the days loop. There's a few storylines I didn't love, like the storyline with her dad and why her mom passed away. I guess that was supposed to give her depth and for you to understand why she's always, you know, kind of upset because she has, you know, family issues. But again, for the most part, I liked it. Again, it felt a little much of the same, but for the most part, I liked it. The big thing we can talk about here at the end, the twist. Did we like the twist? Because,
no.
Again, spoiler, big time spoiler. One of the first parts of the movie, when she leaves the dorm room of somebody who at the time she thought she hooked up with, she gets back to her sorority house and her roommate gives her a cupcake and she blows out the cupcake. Well, it turns out in the end, she thinks she's defeated the guy who's been killing her, this inmate. And then she goes back and she eats that cupcake and she wakes up again. Well, the cupcake had been laced with poison. It was her roommate all along who'd been trying to kill her. The reasoning for killing her is where I have most of my issues, because I don't like the motivations for her roommate wanting to kill her. One of them is the fact that the main character, Tree, I guess, had been hooking up with a guy the roommate liked. And then the roommate just says, you're also because you're a dumb bitch. So half of that I don't like because it feels lazy and it feels like they could have done something more with that. But at the same time, again, I view it as satire. And that's I think that's kind of the joke, is it's supposed to be stupid. It's a stupid reason, because Tree even calls it out. She says, like, that's the dumbest reason. So that's where I saw that there. But you can ramble on, Ken Jack, and I'm sure, Troy, you have thoughts on the twist.
Not to sound like too smart here, but like didn't shock me, because that's what I thought the whole time, because they had telegraphed it like pretty early on with, like, you know, I can't wait to meet your guy or something like that. There's some like lines in there about some guy her roommate was interested in. She worked at the hospital, so it was kind of like, okay, you put two and two together. Yeah, I mean, I didn't really I like the fact that Tree said that was the dumbest thing that ever happened.
Tree.
But
call her by her name.
Tree. I said Tree.
You said Teresa.
Teresa. Teresa Tree.
It's if only we could rewind and find that out later.
It's a common nickname for Teresa, one that I hear all the time. Many, many Teresas are named Tree. So yeah, I mean,
fucking asshole.
The twist was kind of silly, I thought, but it was also enjoyable, because I really didn't want the movie to end at that point. I didn't feel like I got good resolution. I don't know. Like, I guess now that I'm hearing Ken Jack talk, like, I'm enjoying it a lot less than I thought I did. I think I think a 70 out of 100 is still where I land, but I don't think I could ever watch this movie again.
No.
So it's like a good one-time experience, but like a classic horror movie or a classic horror slasher, slash comedy satire, like Scream is infinitely rewatchable. It's still clever and it holds up well. I don't think this one would hold up upon a rewatching. I don't know. That's just my take on it.
You know, what was funny was when I was looking up some of the reviews for this movie, one of them was, Happy Death Day is the horror movie of the season. What do you guys think of that?
I mean, what's considered the season?
I mean, it is part of that season, so automatically it's wrong.
No, I mean, it's better than this. I don't remember what I gave it. I think I gave it a higher score. I had to. It's definitely not the best horror movie of the season.
Yeah, you definitely did.
I think Happy Death Day had the benefit of coming out on a weekend where no other movie came out. I think it was like October 13th. I think it came out on Friday the 13th. And I think it was like a good movie for that weekend because nothing else was really there and it was enjoyable. But yeah, it's like one of those, it's a movie that's geared towards a younger audience and they probably resonate with them more. But yeah, I thought it was a fun slasher horror satire film. And what's going to happen now is it's going to get a sequel, Ken Jack, where they explain why she loops. And that one's going to be awful. I can just guarantee you that because this is a one-off thing. It's like a one movie thing and they're going to make it into a franchise probably. And I'm not there for that. I'm not buttering.
You know what I'm surprised by is that there hasn't been either a tweet or a Reddit post or something where they're like, oh, Bill Murray was in my theater for Happy Death Day and gave me a piece of sliced cheese and said, you'll never believe, no one will believe you, for one of those.
Bill Murray showed up to my nephew's bar mitzvah. And he was bartending and he started, people were ordering drinks and at a bar mitzvah, they were really doing this because this really happened. And I ordered a Virgin Mary or a Bloody Mary, and then he just started pouring tequila for everyone. Oh, he's so funny. He's Bill Murray.
I'm really surprised that didn't happen. That was my biggest takeaway in the aftermath of a Happy Death Day. No Bill Murray posts.
I'm trying to think of other things from this movie here.
The ending song was very good. That's the tracks in this were mostly good. I don't like that Demi Lovato song, but the ending song was great.
Like the progressive dying. Hold on. Before we talk about the end, she was progressively dying throughout the movie.
Yeah, never addressed.
She was feeling the effects of being killed every time. I like that.
I didn't like that.
Okay.
I would have liked for her to die more times. Like something like Groundhog Day, they went back and they estimated how many years he was stuck within that loop. And I think it was like something like 50 years, some crazy amount. Maybe not that long, but I would have liked more loops where she goes off and tries like different things, like different stupid things. Like, why didn't she just
her hair wasn't a stupid thing?
that
Edge of Tomorrow also has a lot of loops as well. You don't know at the time, but you eventually it's kind of a twist that you end up figuring out that he's been looping for a long time.
So like that kind of limits that. Like that might like they had a line about her getting like 9 lives or something like that. So she didn't have a lot of loops. Maybe some people like that. I would have liked it if she would have like tried experimenting. You know that car where the alarm goes off every morning? I thought for sure one of the loops was she was gonna run to that car, get in, and just drive as far away as possible. I'm pretty sure that I could have beaten that loop pretty easily.
You would have won?
I think I would have. I think I maybe would have died 2 times before figuring it out. I don't know how I would have done that, but I think I would have. You know, I have a lot of faith in myself. Like I just would get in a car and I would drive as far away as possible, and then like what can happen? Like, but maybe that's a bad thing, right? Because that roommate would still be trying to kill you, and maybe you wouldn't loop on that day because it's not your birthday. Ken Jack, actually, that's the explanation. She looped because it's her birthday. Isn't that enough for you?
That's not, to be honest.
One thing I thought was kind of weird here is in the trailers, they use 50 Cent in the club.
Yeah.
For her ringtone. But they had this like, hey, it's your birthday. Like weird.
Okay, that was the thing I hated most about this movie. She had some stupid ass birthday ringtone.
Did like 50 Cent like say at the last minute, it's like, I saw this movie. I'm with Ken Jack. I hated it. You cannot use In the Club.
Some guy tweet me that I rated it a 9 because the lead is a woman. And now go full woke ally.
All right. Well, hold on. You actually also had somebody tweet at you that you apparently rated this. And I guess we can go back and look. You rated this movie worse than Nut Job 2 Nutty by Nature. At K_whip said, really out here. Ken Jack really out here saying Nut Job 2 Nutty by Nature is better than Happy Death Day.
It was more enjoyable. At least it had Bobby Moynihan.
Oh, dang it,
Bobby Moynihan.
I have to interrupt this review of Happy Death Day. We're now going to pause for a 15-second moment of silence as Bobby Moynihan's CBS show was canceled today, unfortunately. His show with John Larroquette. So, folks, please let's observe a moment of silence for the canceling of Me, Myself, and I with Bobby Moynihan.
Okay, when is the moment of quiet silence start?
I remember you.
I'm flatlining.
That's got good. Him. I think he appreciates that. Okay.
Please clap.
So happy death day. Any closing thoughts here? Crazy. This is the biggest difference in score we've had by far. Again, we've had that complaint about the podcast that we agreed too much. This one, we're way off. Trill Bones gave it a 70. I gave it a 69. Kenjack gives it a 9.
You know, if Kenjack said he hated it and gave it like a 40, I would be like, okay, I understand.
That's the same thing with me.
But nine. It is not a 9, Kenjack. I mean, I want to – you know, I had a dream last night that, like, we started getting, like, more popular, and then other movie podcasts came after us because we weren't movie guys enough. And I feel like if that were to happen, this would be the moment they would seize upon.
This would be the thing they go back and find.
Yeah, they'd be like, you gave Happy Death Day a 9. You didn't appreciate the greatness of this film, Kenjack.
But you gave Nut Job 2 a 12 or whatever you gave it.
What did I give Nut Job 2? I don't remember.
I like it. I mean, here's the thing. Movies are – I either like a movie or don't like a movie. It's very hard for me to, like, go out of my way to say, like, okay, this one's like a 95 versus a 90. Like, either it's like I really liked it or I didn't like it at all. And if you don't like a movie, it's hard to like go below 50 and say, well, I didn't like it a 45 or I didn't like it a 30. It's like if you really don't like a movie like Kenjack like it, every second's miserable. It's just miserable. You don't want to be in there anymore. So I can kind of understand rating it that low because it's either like, you know, a thumbs up or thumbs down is kind of that binary system. Kenjack's just giving it a big thumbs down.
You gave Nut Job 2 a 12. I just looked it up. You did give Nut Job 2 3 points higher of a score.
That's fair. I think
again, I'm nut-jobbing!
But Bobby Moynihan was the X factor in that they didn't have a Bobby Moynihan in Death Day.
Bobby Moynihan is the default 3 points to our rating system from here on out.
That's my Josh Peck rule. If a movie has Josh Peck, it has to have at least a 1 out of 100. So happy Death Day. We hope you enjoyed this. Let us know your thoughts. Tweet at us at Lights Camera Pod. It was, I don't know, two of us liked it. One of us really hated it.
Boo.
We'll save Kenjack's extended Madea 2 rant for our Christmas episode.
It was literally the ramblings of a madman.
Yeah, if you're listening to the podcast, you did not hear the full Boo 2 review. So that was Geostorm, Boo 2, Happy Death Day. Geostorm, we all rated it below a 10. Happy Death Day, way different. Boo 2, Kenjack saw it. Trebons and I lied to him. We didn't actually see it.
You went so far out of the way with that lie, too. Fuck you guys.
It was very deceiving.
I was at least honest with you guys. God damn. Shit, hold on, guys. I got another one. Oh, that's an interesting costume. What are you supposed to be?
I'm Ben Affleck's Batman.
You sort of just look like Iron Man. I mean, it's a metal suit with all these crazy upgrades that contains a regular human.
Candy, please.
Well, I don't have candy, but I do have a Blu-ray disc.
What exactly is the fault in our stars?
You know what? I don't know, because I got it as a gift, and I refuse to open it on principle, because Ansel Elgort is the lead role. It looks kind of fun, though. I mean, stars, stuff like that, it's kiddie-ish, it looks like. So, you know, have fun.
Thanks.
Happy Halloween. All right, I'm back.
All right, let's play a little game. Actually, cue some game show music.
Do you want to play games?
I was just thinking that, yeah.
All right. Rotten Tomatoes, the game. This game is usually played with alcohol. And we'll explain the rules very quickly here. So the suggestion for how to play this game is to have the Flixster app downloaded on your phone. That's the best way to look up Rotten Tomatoes scores. Flixster, quickest way to look it up. I've learned that over the years, and by years I mean year and a half. So you're in a circle, you're drinking alcohol with your buddies, you got some mixed drinks, some beers, and you give a movie to the person either on your left or your right. You determine what the order is. So for example, I'm in a circle with Trill and Kenjack. I give Trill Star Wars. He has to guess what the score is on Rotten Tomatoes. He guesses whatever he guesses. For every 5 points he's off, he has to drink for a second. So he's off by 25 points. Say he guesses like a, I think Star Wars is like a 92. We'll say it's a 95 just for symmetry here. Star Wars is a 95. He guesses a 70. He's off by 25 points. He has to drink for 5 seconds. If he guesses within five, a 90, he drinks for no seconds. And the person who gave him the movie drinks for 5 seconds. These rules will all be up on our Twitter, by the way. There's an element in this game where if Trill's off by 25 points, he now has 25 points on his ledger. And you go around the circle. Trill then gives a movie to Ken Jack. Say he's off by 30, he has 30 points, and so on and so forth. If you're within five, you add 0 points. It's kind of like the bonus. And if you guess the movie on the dot, if you guess like 95% on the dot, everybody takes a shot. And the first person to cross the 100-point line or 200-point line, depending on how quickly you want to get drunk. Again, we're not drinking right now. The first person to cross that has to take a shot. You get fairly intoxicated if you play this game with alcohol, and some people don't know movies that well because Rotten Tomatoes can mess with you. You take the critic's score. So we're going to play here, and we'll see who wins. So we'll go with first to 200, and you'll kind of get how it goes as we go along. Trill, you're going to give a movie to Ken Jack. Ken Jack, you give a movie to me. I give a movie to Ken Jack. We go in a circle, and then we reverse it. So Trill, you give a movie to Ken Jack.
Okay, Ken Jack, the movie is Poison Ivy 2, 1995.
I'm going to go...
That's a real movie?
I never heard of it. 10.
It was a 17.
That's not bad. So you're off by 7. So Ken Jack has 7 points after round 1. All right, hit me with it.
Bad Boys 2.
Bad Boys 2. Michael Bay. 31.
Oh, closer than I would have thought. 23.
23, or I'm off by 8. So Ken Jack is in the lead with 7. I'm at 8. So it's like golf. You know, you want the lowest score. Trill, the Boondock Saints.
Ooh.
31.
Okay, so this is a really good one to give some friends because people are typically way off. It's a 20.
Ooh.
So Boondock Saints at a 20. So Trill, you're losing after the first round here with 11.
But I had their poster in my college dorm.
I thought this was a great movie.
This is really good after one round to be this far off because typically you'll have one or two people who are off by like 30 or 40. All right, Trill, give a movie to Ken Jack.
Okay, Ken Jack. It's the Wes Anderson movie, Darjeeling Limited.
People are going to rate it higher, I feel like, in the critical community because it's Wes Anderson, even though he's poo-poo water. So I'm going to say like split the middle, 50.
69.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. So 26 points after two rounds for Ken Jack. All right, let's go.
Mission Impossible 2.
Mission Impossible 2? Shit. Let's see here. Tommy Cruise, second one. What does that be, like 1999?
Yeah, I think it was 2000.
I'm going to give it a 62.
Damn, 57.
There we go. So I was within five, so I have 0 points against my ledger, and I wouldn't drink there. There, Ken Jack would drink for 5 seconds. Okay, Trill, your next movie. A favorite of Ken Jack's, the Beauty and the Beast live action movie.
Oh, oh, oh. Vote low.
93.
You're off by 22. It's a 71.
What?
Yeah,
that's a great movie.
I'm going to lose this game, guys. I'm done for.
You're actually, again, that's not that bad.
I'm flatlining.
All right, Trill, dish it out. We'll go one more time this way, then we'll reverse it.
Okay, the Kevin Smith classic Mallrats.
17?
Ken Jack said 17. The tomato meter reads 55.
Oh, shit. I'm going to fucking lose.
Off by 38 there, so you're now at 64 points. So you're getting close. All right. Ken Jack, throw it up.
Demolition Man.
Shit. Shot in the Dark, 25.
64.
Oh, damn. That was a really bad guess.
It's a better movie than people give it credit for because I think people associate it with Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
And it's the three seashells and the whole be fucked thing.
Yeah.
So great.
Solid movie.
So I'll give you Trill. We're going to reverse it after this. Barbershop, the next cut.
15.
God. Oh, God.
All right, Barbershop, the next cut. Trill Bolin says 15%. The actual score is a 90%.
What?
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Get you're the off fuck by, out of here.
You're off by 75. That's one of the highest I've ever seen somebody off by. So you are now at 108. You're at 108. So you're close to 200 now.
Wait, so I got to look that. I got to verify that. I got to see that with my own.
I stand with you, Trill Bolin. There's no way.
Put your mic closer to you, by the way.
Yeah, you're right. You're not lying. Barbershop next cut did get 90%. That's crazy.
Pull your mic closer.
Yeah, Barbershop next cut did get a 90%. You're not lying. So yeah, I'm gonna lose this. Like I said, I predicted
it. You would have drank for what, like 12-13 seconds there? So you'd be done with a couple drinks by now.
Yes.
And when I mean drink, you gotta chug. That's how this game is played. And Rotten Tomatoes, if you're listening. Come on. Hit us up. Let's get a deal going. All right, Joe, you send it back this way. You're at 108. Ken Jack's at 64. I'm at 47. First 200 has to take a shot.
Okay. Is the 2004 movie Mr. 3000 starring Bernie Mac?
Oh, rest in peace. Rest in peace. No way that got above a 50, right?
You tell me.
I think I'm going to be wrong here. I'm going to say 38.
54%.
Okay, off by 16. Okay.
Yeah, like, now all of a sudden, since Trill Bolin's is off by 75, everything else is like, oh, yeah, I was pretty close.
Ken Jack, Stuart Little.
Oh, it's definitely lower than I want to think it is. 60.
66, wow.
Yeah. Damn.
Wow, off by 6 points. That's not bad. You would have drank for 1 second. That's good.
All right, so now I'm going to Trill.
And you give the Trill now. Trill, you're at 108, and 82 loses you the game.
All right, so the last action hero.
55.
37.
All right, not bad. That's good. You're very much still in it. Off by 18, so you're at 126. All right, Trill, send it back.
Mr. Mom.
Ooh.
Ooh, the ketonescence. Far before the ketonescence, though. Mr. Mom, 72?
Ooh. 81%.
Damn. Okay, 81%, not bad. Ketonescence, gotta respect it. 56 for me, 86 for Ken Jack. Trill, you're at 126. Ken Jack, Stuart Little, 2.
Oh, this one has to be lower. Or maybe it's a trick question and it's actually higher. I'm gonna go with lower anyway and say 55.
Oh, it's higher. All right, folks. That's right, Stuart Little, 2. This is one of my favorites to ask. Is rated higher than Stuart Little 1 by 15%, 81.
Fuck.
So you were off by, what was your guess? 55?
55, yeah.
So you're off by 26. So you're now at 100. Hold on. I'm back, not a strong suit. So you're now at 100 and so you're now at 112. Trill, you're back in this. And Jack, give it up.
Con Air.
35%.
57, going too low.
I know. Damn it.
48. All right, you're nearing the end here. All right, Trill.
The English Patient.
Ooh. Ooh. Man. 71?
The English Patient, 1996, received a 84.
84, okay, off by 13. Yeah. So I'm now at 69.
Nice.
Very nice.
All right, Ken Jack. Let's give you a good one here. How about Air Bud 2, the Golden Receiver?
Yeah, I loved Air Bud 2. It's probably going to be really bad. Or it's, again, misdirection. Going to be really good. You got real estate in my brain right now. I'm going to say, fuck, 70.
What?
Yes. Yes, I have a shot.
Do it. Just do it.
No.
Give it. What's the grade?
No, it's 21. You're off. Oh. Well, you said 70. You're off by 49. So you are now at 161.
Wait, Jeff, really quick. Mute your mic. I want to give one to Trill to give to you. Give him The Beach, the Leonardo DiCaprio movie. It's a 19. Okay. I don't think you'll guess that.
Okay. The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio.
I feel like I'm tricked now because you guys colluded on this one. I'm not going to go 50 because I don't like doing that. I'm going to go I have no idea. I have really no idea. I don't think I've ever actually heard this one in this game before. 43.
It's 19 according to Ken Jack.
Wow, might need
to
really?
Be, might need to be audited, but it's 19 according to Ken Jack.
All right, off by 24. I'm up to a 93. All right, guys, you're in the witching hour here. You're pretty close. We'll go one more time through. So Ken Jack, gonna give you this one. Why him?
I don't know what the fuck that is.
So you do get a lifeline. You can ask who was in it and what year. That's it.
All right, give me both.
Year was either last year or the year before. That you're not getting because I'm not looking it up. But I'm pretty sure it was last year. It was James Franco, Zoe Deutsch, and Bryan Cranston. Oh. And Melissa Mullally.
Oh, I do remember this now. Yeah, yeah.
Megan Mullally.
Megan Mullally, Children's Hospital. That's not what she's known for, but she's great in Children's Hospital.
I do remember this now.
So if you get a 39, if you get a 39 or higher, you lose. What was your guess?
30.
Are you off by 10? It's 40%. You're at 171.
Still alive.
All right, Ken, Jack, give it up the trail.
I'm going to go with a classic. Triple X. The Return of Xander. Not The Return of Xander Cage, I don't think. Is it? No.
That's not a classic. The Return of Xander Cage is the one that came out this year.
Yeah, no, not that one. The original one. Triple X. Boom.
22%.
48.
Oh, ooh, no. Uh-oh. 26. He's up to 174. All right, Trill, you send it back now to Ken Jack.
Okay. The Coneheads.
Fuck. It's got to be lower than a 60. 45.
33. All right, so you're off by 12. All right, you're up to 183. So it's going to happen very soon here. Ken Jack, hit me with one.
Let's go with Roadhouse.
78.
38.
Oh, okay. 40. So I'm at 133 now. I'm kind of up there. Trill, ready?
Yes.
Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. You lose. Well, you don't lose because Ken Jack can actually pass you. If you hit over 200 and you finish the game, but if the person after you hits higher than you, they lose. So
58%.
58%? 71. Good guess. Off by 13. You're up to 187 now. All right. Ken Jack, anything higher than a 16 and this is done for you, you lose the game.
The Danish Girl.
Oh, damn. That's got to be high. 90.
68%.
Oh,
get the fuck out of here. Wait. Really?
22. 68? All right. So technically I can lose here still. So Ken Jack, you're at 203. Mm. You gotta hit me with a disaster here. If I'm off by 71 points or more, I lose.
Fuck. I got nothing. I exhausted my like a preset list and I've used all of them.
So that's when you just go 50. You just gotta go 50. Right.
But I don't want to do a Price is Right dollar guess here. I'm going to go for it. I'll go high or low just for fun.
Let's go The Room.
The Room?
It'll surprise you. I'll tell you that.
You're just messing with me now.
No, I'm not. It will surprise you.
I'm going to say 26.
Damn, it didn't surprise you. It's a 32. Didn't surprise you.
So I end up with 139. Ken Jack's the loser. You lose. So you are now pretty drunk because you've drank for whatever 200 divided by 5 is in seconds and you've taken a shot.
Yeah, well, I'm not a bitch, so I'd be drinking nothing but straight Malort because I'm a Chicago guy now.
real Chicago guy.
Be drinking liquefied wormwood or whatever the hell is in Malort.
So this is not like a reoccurring segment, by the way. We're not going to do this every week, but we've had a lot of questions about it and people wanted like instructions, so we were like, all right, we'll just play it. We'll probably do this live at some point while we actually drink, maybe join in. Maybe we'll have people send us movies. Well, we'll figure something out. We'll do this at some point later on. But that's the Rotten Tomatoes game. We'll put some instructions online. And then, hey, hit up Rotten Tomatoes. Tell them to connect with us.
Oh, my God. Again? Oh, it's so late. All right. Just one more time. Hopefully. Hello?
Yes. My son Craig Thorpe was over at your house trick-or-treating uh-huh. earlier, and he said that yeah. you threw a copy of a DVD out in the front yeah. lawn and made kids fight over the DVD. What do you say to this?
Well, I wouldn't say I made them fight. They kind of just fought themselves. I mean, they all wanted to see A Shark's Tale pretty bad.
Well, you see, that's the most egregious thing of this entire situation is the name of the movie is not A Shark's Tale. It's called Shark Tale. Just Shark Tale. That's all. If you just would have said Shark Tale, it would have been fine, but you had to call it A Shark's Tale and throw the DVD in the yard. Good day to you, sir. Good day indeed.
All right, one more thing here before we go. So we said we do a fantasy movie league. Now treat this first version as a test. So it won't be perfect. And we'll make merchandise the prize. So you guys are going to be able to get involved, everyone listening. You will see the instructions on Twitter. So if you're familiar with Twitter and like sports Twitter, you've seen those things where people say, build the best NBA roster with these players or NFL roster. And the top players like LeBron, Steph Curry, Durant, they're worth like $12. And you have a budget of like $20. So you basically have to build it out. And you can't just pick the best player. You have to pick some of the lower tiers. So that's how we're going to do it with these movies. So basically, bottom line, in the end, the person whose movies combined has the most money at the box office when all the runs are over in theaters wins. There's a couple tiers here. You must pick 5 movies, and you can't spend any more than 20 points. The 1-point movies. Hostiles, 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Lady Bird, Last Flag Flying, Wonder, and Phantom Thread. The 2-point movies, Cook Off, Darkest Hour, Call Me By Your Name, The Greatest Showman, and Downsizing. The 4-point movies, The Shape of Water, The Post, Father Figures, The Disaster Artist, LBJ. 6-point tier, A Bad Mom's Christmas, Daddy's Home 2, Paddington 2, Coco, and I, Tanya. Movies worth 8 points, Murder on the Orient Express, Jumanji, Pitch Perfect 3. Movies worth 10 points, Thor Ragnarok, Justice League, and the one 12-point movie, Star Wars The Last Jedi. So give your 5 picks and why you pick the combination. And on Twitter, you can find this in the graphic form. Pick your movies, tweet at us your point total and the movies you picked. We're going to log them in a system and we will track throughout the rest of the year and into the beginning of next year when these movies continue to be in theaters. So, Trill, you're up first. What are your picks?
Okay, so I'm going with Star Wars The Last Jedi for 12 points. That's a heavy investment. You know, that's like your Antonio Brown type pick right there. The reason I'm doing this is because that's like a guaranteed $2 billion. So I think point per dollar, it's the best choice I have here. And then now I have 8 points that in which I can do with it. So I got Star Wars The Last Jedi, 12 points, $2 billion guaranteed. I'm going to invest in The Disaster Artist with 4 points for my second pick. Hopefully that will do pretty well. And then I'm going to pick 3 of the lower tier movies to fill out my total bracket. So I'm going to pick Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, and Hostiles. Really, I'm just banking heavy on Star Wars going to the paint in this round. And then The Disaster Artist doing pretty well. And then I think that would be solid.
So I'm of a mind with you with Star Wars. I also picked it because it's definitely going to make like an insane amount, like $2 billion worldwide, probably. But me being the galaxy brain smart big boy I am, decided to pick Coco instead of garbage disaster movie, which is probably going to not make a lot of money.
What? It's Are you hating on that movie already? You haven't even
seen it yet.
Wait. Coco's worth 6 points, right?
Yeah.
And so 12 plus 6 equals 18.
Yeah. And they got 2 more.
I thought we had to pick 5 movies.
Wait, we have to pick 5 movies?
Oh, you have to pick 5 movies.
I fucked this up.
So you would have... Yeah, you can't do that.
Can I play a man short? Because I think I'll win with it.
Nope, you have to pick 5 movies.
No, I would love to pay. I would love to play a man short. I would love to play 3 men short because I would pick Thor Ragnarok and fucking Star Wars.
We should be able to do this. We should augment the rules.
You got to pick. Well, that makes it tough. That's why if you pick the $2 billion winner in Star Wars, you're basically shoehorned into picking not many great. I mean, the best movie you can really pick from is like The Post or Disaster Artist.
I wish we had a sponsorship with like DraftKings right now. Yeah. we'd be like educating people on like the general economics of DraftKings. Like, can I just pick like all the good players?
Why won't you trade me 3 receivers for Antonio Brown?
I choose Tom Brady, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, and then I don't want to pick any other players.
If I could, I would. If I could play a man short, I would have Coco. I guess I can't have him.
Well, you're not. You can't play a man short. So it's like
you can't do that because it's God damn it!
You're telling me 2 basketball teams go head to head, and one team says, "I'll play with 5 men," and you guys can play with 4. The other team's saying no, It's a win-win scenario, some would say.
No, but it'd be like having a salary cap and then having like four LeBron Jameses, and you're over the salary cap, and then you're just that like, okay, awesome. We'll go 4-on-5.
You just maybe like this more involving four LeBron Jameses on a single team.
Okay, Jeff, what's your lineup, Jeff?
Ken Jeff not playing, apparently.
I'm out. Yeah, you guys, you give me your show me how to do this.
What we'll do is we'll retool it a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So this is like a test run. So when we retool it, we're going to come up with like analytics like on some of these movies in terms of projections and then create the points values.
We'll have a sponsor from this is not like a thing that we actually have, but maybe we will have a sponsor from a fantasy league. But basically, I think this actually exists somewhere because some Twitter account about fantasy movies tweeted at us after we teased this out. It was like, hey, come play here. Now we're doing our own shit. But yeah, Troll's right. We'll refine this. We're either going to do the whole year or we'll split it up like by months. We'll do it like in three sections or four sections.
Good way to make it unique is to have you be able to have four people instead of five.
Oh, God.
Differentiation.
Can I just pick The Last Jedi 8 times? It was $16 billion of box office.
Kendrick, are you playing or are you the friend that drops out because he's too busy?
I'm that friend that's like, my second round pick got hurt. I'm not paying attention anymore, and I'm not paying.
Yeah, but
are you playing this game?
in my other movie fantasy league, the one that allows me to go four players, I'm like really good in that one. I have The Last
and
Jedi.
That one I got Coco.
It's actually a keeper league, so I have The Force Awakens too, and I have Jurassic Park, like both of them. And I also have like all the rights to all the Marvel movies coming out, guys.
I guess if on the fly I have to pick it, I'm still picking Last Jedi. I don't think Disaster Movie is going to be a commercial success. So The Post, I guess, since it has Tom Hanks. And then I have two more left?
You have three more left, dumbass.
So I have three more one-pointers, I guess? I don't know. Someone teach me how to count take me seriously.
That was mean. I love Ken Jack. Ken Jack gets, I feel bad because Ken Jack is like the funniest dude on this podcast, and he gets like the most shit just because he's the only one. He's the only one unafraid to like ever go there, so we just roast him for it.
Wait, you're picking The Last Jedi, then what else?
The Post, and then...
This is the guy who had one avenue for how he was going to draft in the first like I had picks, this all his guys got taken.
He's the guy whose fucking internet keeps dropping during the live draft. Oh, can you guys pause?
I'm so flustered. So what?
Kamish?
So I'm at 16 with the Last Jedi and The Post. Oh, I'm going to puke.
Okay. Ken Jack, come up with it real quick. Let's get Jeff's picks on this.
Okay, you're gonna redo yours.
Yeah, redo yours real quick, and then we'll get Jeff's opinion.
Well, you know what?
10 points for me. I'm going Thor. It's tracking well. Then I'll be up to 16 because I'm picking Coco. And then I'm picking Downsizing. I'm at 18 points, and my last two picks. I'm also going with Lady Bird along with Trill, and I'm gonna take Wonder because it's Julia Roberts and Jacob Tremblay.
I like that, but do you think Thor, what do you think Thor is going to do? Like a billion? What did the previous one do?
I don't know what the previous ones did, but the fact that it's tracking 400 million on its first weekend, I think it's going to do some of the strongest Marvel numbers yet. And I think the fact that the Rotten Tomato score is so high, it's being touted as the highest rated Marvel movie of all time. So
yeah,
I am hedging that Coco is going to do better than I think most people think. It's Pixar, it's going to do well, but I think it's going to get so much Oscar buzz that it'll launch up enough for Thor and Coco to catch up to Last Jedi. And then I guess I'm really flying my hat on Downsizing because I think Downsizing is going to have some buzz. I probably should have picked Greatest Showman now that I think about it, but it's too late. I already picked. Can't go back.
The movie looks like ass.
that's my Greatest input. Showman nominated for this. Ken Jack gives it a 3.
This has been Movie Previews with Ken Jack.
My movie preview of The Greatest Showman is that all the commercials make P.T. Barnum look like an SJW or something, but he was kind of the world's biggest dickhead. So it's a little bit of a weird revisionist history to
the
want
world's
to do
first on. Anti-P.T. Barnum podcast.
The guy literally patented the phrase, there's a sucker born every minute, and they turned him into like some sort of like, I don't know,
Yeah. See these marvelous elephants over here? Yeah, we're going to lock them in a cage, see? And we're going to keep them in a cage, and we're going to make them roll in a ball. But it's okay because it's the circus, see?
Lights, Camera, Podcast. Come for the movies, stay for the P.T. Barnum slander.
P.T. Barnum, rest in hell, you old bitch.
Yeah, I don't think I'm alone when I say this, but P.T. Barnum sucks.
Circuses on a whole? Fuck circuses. Dumb event.
Look, some people might think it's cowardly that we waited until the Barnum Circus closed to crap all over P.T. Barnum, but we're here to say we're not afraid of Big Circus. We're not.
All right, let's go. Pick your movies. Come on.
Stop. Leave me alone.
We have.
This is the first. What's the political thing when somebody gets up in front and just like waste time by reading like the screenplay of The Last Jedi? He's filibustering the podcast.
Fine. Star Wars post cook off in Darkest Hour.
Wait a second. Does that even work?
That's four movies. That's four movies, Kitchik. That's four. Pick five. Just pick another.
Wait, another one. Yeah. Even better. Yeah, that doesn't work.
They make 20, does it? I don't think so.
Dude, you didn't even make budget. You didn't even pick right.
I'm under budget, and I picked less players. Have you ever watched House Hunters?
Okay, The Last Jedi and The Post. What are your other picks? You're at 14. You have six left. I mean, you're at 16. You have four left.
Cook off, Darkest Hour, Downsizing. There you go.
Can't do that. No.
That's five.
No, you only have 4 points left.
You have to pick
a 2-pointer and then 2 1-pointers.
I'm not picking Star Wars anymore. It's making it too complicated.
Stupid as shit.
Oh my god, let me die. Okay, I'm not picking Star Wars anymore.
What are you picking? Just pick your movies, goddammit. I need to be released.
I'm going Justice League, the Post. Shape of Water, and
that's not gonna work.
All right, here, Justice League Post. Again, I'm not abandoning Post now. It's too late.
You have six left. You have 6 points left.
Okay. You have to pick cook off Darkest Hour, Downsizing. We're done.
Hold on. Okay.
Oh my god, I think that worked.
No, it does.
Oh god, thank god.
Oh my god.
Watch Ken Jack win this.
I'm gonna be the one friend that auto drafts and then wins the whole thing in the money league.
That was basically an auto draft. That was like
okay, I'm fucking
so done. Just to recap, Trill Ballin's movies are The Last Jedi, The Disaster Artist, Hostiles, Lady Bird, and Phantom Thread. I picked Thor Ragnarok, Coco, Downsizing, Lady Bird, Wonder, and then Ken Jack, by the grace of God, finally picked his movies. Justice League, The Post, Cook Off, Darkest Hour, Downsizing.
Wait, where's Star Wars?
Will be on Get the fuck out of here. This graphic will be on Twitter. Again, pick your movies. Don't pull a Ken Jack. Please make it five movies under 20, or we're not going to take your pick, and we're not going to tweet at you asking you to redo this because Kendrick has ruined it for everybody. You have to be right on the first try. We will log all of them. The winner, whenever the last movie on this list ends its release in theaters, will get some free merch.
You guys fucked this up by changing the point system while I was taking a pee-pee.
That is kind of true.
Because right now I've been staring at like the screen in Telegram this entire time, and it still says 8 points right above all of them, and I just keep fucking it up by reading.
Well, but not really though, because you still picked Star Wars, and then you skipped all the way down. So
I wish I knew. I didn't read the five thing. I was so set. I was so set.
Oh my lord!
We would have done that too.
Oh, guys, sorry. Another trick or treater.
Trick or treat.
Wow, what a costume! What are you?
I'm Bobby Moynihan's character from The Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature.
Oh, that's quite unique. just as unique as this DVD right here.
What movie is this? The Great Wall?
It stars Matt Damon. It involves the Great Wall of China and dragons and stuff like that. It's a pretty recent classic.
Why is Matt Damon starring in a movie about the Great Wall of China? Is casting diversity that much of an issue in Hollywood?
Wow, very educational thought, young boy. It is pretty ludicrous, I must admit, but it is worth a watch. Have a good night!
Okay, thanks.
Alright, gotta finish this podcast. Alright, we got a lot of these trick-or-treaters. Time to wrap this one up.
I'm sweating.
I thought that was our funniest segment yet.
That was good.
Teach Ken Jack to count.
That was something you can only get from the internet's probably number one unaffiliated movie podcast.
That's true. We have been declared as the internet's probably number one unaffiliated
probably
movie podcast. We got to get sponsored by Khan Academy probably. Or something. I need hope.
We're going to get a sponsor soon. Again, reminder here, please subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Go to the iTunes store. Go to the Apple store. Take all their phones. I don't know. Get in trouble. I don't care. Noon Eastern. The merchandise store will be open. Check our Twitter for the link. Check our Twitter for the Rotten Tomatoes game. And please check it for the Fantasy Movie League. Send your picks in ASAP because Thor comes out on Thursday.
Remember, as many players as you want. No rules. There's okay. No rules.
Since we're filming, since it's really Wednesday, but we're pretending like we're filming it on Tuesday, Thursday's actually today.
Yeah,
whatever.
Closing thoughts? Anything else, guys?
A few closing thoughts here. Thought Happy Death Day was good. I think Ken Jack just didn't like it. I think that's okay. I think it's hard for Ken Jack to sign. Ken Jack either likes a movie or he hates it. It's hard for him to sign anything in between 10 and 80.
So true.
He just doesn't want to do it, and I respect that.
It's my DMZ. If for America.
Yeah. You don't compromise. There's no half measures there.
Yeah. My closing thoughts are, I don't know how to count, but there's 2 feet and 10 toes, and that's all I need. So let's move on. Close this out, Jeff.
So please go see Thor before the next main podcast. We'll be reviewing that. We're going to have a guest next week, too. Have a guest, and we're going to have some cool segments. Follow us on @LightsCameraPod. You can check it out there for the new Lights Camera Pod store. Goss God shirts, I'm flatlining shirts, sweaters, stickers, anything. Buy it all. Noon Eastern. Find it on our Twitter, and you can find out how to join the Fantasy Movie League as well. For Trill Ballins and Ken Jack, I'm Jeff Lowe. We'll talk to you on Real Dump on Sunday night. Come together.
Holy shit, I didn't think this was possible, but I have another. Alright, I'll be right back. Oh, whoa, you look great. You have to be Gerard Butler from Olympus Has Fallen, right?
No. I'm Channing Tatum from White House Down.
Whatever. So, I've almost run out of DVDs for the night, but I saved the best for last. Transformers The Last Night.
Oh my god. Are you kidding me? This is
Wait.
Awesome.
I'm gonna go no, you're not supposed to like it. Wait, watch. No, stop. You're ruining the bit. Wait, what the hell? Stop.
Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you so much, sir.
All right, I'm back, guys.